Jesus had been teaching all day. He had used a boat as a platform and a pulpit. It was now even time, and as I mentioned this morning, somewhere between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the evening. He said, let's go over to the other side. And as I mentioned this morning, they were on the western side of the lake, or of the Sea of Galilee, on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. And we're going to go over to the eastern side. And the eastern side is where the Gentiles, where they lived. And I was thinking, I didn't say it this morning, I'm so glad that Jesus didn't just come for the Jews. I'm glad that Jesus came for the Gentiles too. Because, you see, I'm a Gentile. And I'm glad that Jesus came for me. I'm glad that he offered me the opportunity to receive him as my Savior. And again, I just want to point out, I think this text is a text that speaks to all people. I think it covers any situation and every situation in life. We all have storms. We all have things that come into our life that we would classify, put in the storm category. Some of those are health storms. Some of those are relationship storms. Some of those are financial storms. Some of them are emotional storms. And we all have them. In fact, Jesus told us that we would have them. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus was speaking and he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. He said this, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so he said, you're going to have storms. There's going to be things that happen in your life, but be of good cheer, because I'm there with you. And so he said, as even came, after teaching all day, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. And as we talked about this morning, the disciples quickly sent away the crowd as he stayed on the boat. They got in the ship with him, and they went headed toward the other side. Now, again, I mentioned this morning, since they were in the northeastern part, the northwestern part of the Sea of Galilee, up near the town of Capernaum. I believe that's where some of the disciples lived. I believe that's where Jesus, I know it's where Jesus made his base of operation for some of his earthly ministry. And so they were on the northwest part of the lake. I mentioned this morning, the lake is 8 miles across at its widest point. They weren't going across at its widest point. They were going across it at one of its narrowest points. Maybe only a couple miles across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship. He was in the back of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And again, Mark is the only gospel of the three that record this event that said Jesus was asleep on a pillow. And again, I'm going to repeat some of the things I said this morning. It shows me that he went to sleep on purpose. He didn't do like some of us might have done this afternoon, sitting in a chair and we just sort of nodded off. I mean, he went and found the pillow and he went to sleep on purpose and was asleep when the storm came up. Now, by the way, it wasn't uncommon for storms to happen on the Sea of Galilee. Again, that sea is surrounded by mountains, some of them very tall. The sea is 700 feet below sea level. And so the winds would start in the mountains, come down the ravines or the valleys of the mountains, and come down on the sea and stir up the waves and create the storms. And so that's what happened this night. Now, we've talked about it in Sunday school. I preached about it this morning. Tonight, I want to share three more things with you that are truths that come from this account. And so I want you to notice three things tonight. First of all, I want you to notice the power of the storm. The power of the storm. In verse 37, it says, there arose a great storm. And I mentioned this a little bit this morning, but I want to come back to it tonight. There was no warning that the storm was going to come. When the disciples got in the ship with Jesus and they started out, I believe the wind wasn't blowing. I believe the Sea of Galilee was like a sheet of glass. I believe it was smooth. And so when they got in the ship, everything was calm. And then that verse says, there arose a great storm of wind. I believe that calmness was changed suddenly. I believe that calmness was changed quickly. And I can't help but think how sometimes that's the way it is with life. We don't get warnings when storms are about to come into our life. Storms don't come with advance notice. They usually come quickly. They come without warning. They come when you go to the doctor for a routine visit. They come when bad news comes, like it came to us in that call from Marion. There was no warning about that. It just comes. And that's how oftentimes the storms in life come. Everything is calm and peaceful and everything's going good 1 minute. And then the next minute, it seems like our whole world is falling apart. We haven't had time to prepare for it. We haven't had time to get ready for it. 1 minute, everything's good. The next minute, everything's bad, and it's falling apart. And so, I want you to notice in the power of this storm how sudden it came. And then I want you to notice something else about it. I want you to notice the severity of it, how severe it was. The wind was blowing. The waves were crashing. There was water that began to fill the boat. And we talked about it this morning. It's okay for the boat to be in water, but it's not okay for water to be in the boat. If enough water gets in the boat gets heavy, and the boat sinks, and the boat goes under, and all those that are in the boat go under with it. And so it was a severe storm. The wind was blowing hard. The waves were high. You know, when a storm comes to another person, we hurt with them. We pray for them. Sometimes we say, and I think we say this without thinking about it, especially if we've never been in the circumstances that they're in, say, we'll pray for you. We know how you feel. And oftentimes we really don't know how they feel. Oftentimes we haven't been where they've been. You see, when it happens to somebody else, we can hurt with them, and we can imagine in our mind how much it is hurting them and how severe the storm is. But until it comes into our life, until it's our spouse, or it's our child, or it's our grandchild, and we face the storm ourselves, we really don't know how severe a storm can be. And so it was a sudden storm. It was a severe storm. And then I want you also to notice under this point of the power of the storm, I want you to notice the source of the storm. You see, I believe there are three sources for storms that come into our life. I believe sometimes we cause storms ourselves. We bring storms on ourselves. Because, and I've done this, I brought storms on myself. Adam would tell us about some things that I've done that have brought a storm into my life. Some of the stupid things that I've done. Some of the bad attitudes that I've had. Even times of rebellion that has resulted in storms coming into my life. I mean, Jonah was a good example of that. About somebody that brought a storm into his life. I mean, God told him to go preach at Nineveh. What did Jonah say? No. He headed in the opposite direction. He got on a ship, and I like what the Bible says, he went down into a ship. Anytime you run from the will of God, you're going down. And so he went in the opposite direction. And you know what happened to him when he rebelled against God? He got into a storm. He got tossed overboard. He spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, in the belly of a big fish. Later, Jesus referred to it as a whale. But he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale because of a storm that he brought on himself. I think sometimes, secondly, that Satan brings storm into our life. That God allows Satan to test us. Job is a good example of that. You know the story of Job. He was an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He hated evil. And God Satan came to God and said, "Well, Job only serves you because you put this hedge of protection about him. Take the hedge of protection away, and he'll curse you." And God said, "Okay, go ahead. Don't kill him, but go ahead and test him." And you know the story. Job lost his family. He lost his children. He lost his fortune. He lost his health, all because God allowed Satan to bring a storm into our life. But there's a third source of storms that come into our life. And I would put these in the category of the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. These are storms that don't come because we rebel against God. These are storms that don't come because Satan is attacking. These are storms that God himself puts us in. I mentioned it this morning when Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. He knew what was going to happen. The storm was no surprise to him. Hey, he was the Son of God. He knew it was coming. He knew it was going to be sudden. He knew it was going to be severe. And again, the storm wasn't brought on by the disciples. They were obedient. They were doing what Jesus told them to do. The storm wasn't brought on by an attack of Satan. The storm was planned by God, and the storm was used by God. Now, let me just tell you tonight, I don't think there's anybody here that's exempt from storms. Nobody. You know, this is the time of year when some of us are working on our taxes. I love exemptions. I look for everyone I can take. In fact, if you tell me about one that I don't know about, I'll use it. In fact, if you make one up, tell me so that I can use it too. I love exemptions. But you know what? None of us are exempt from storms. You can't be good enough to avoid them. You can't be kind enough you can't be kind enough to avoid them. You can't do enough good deeds to avoid them. You can't work enough to avoid them. No one is exempt from storms. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, that he, God, maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You see, the rains or the storms come to everyone. And here's the title of my message tonight, but don't jump ship yet. Storms are going to come. They're going to be sudden. They're going to be severe. And in some cases, they are sent by God himself. But don't jump ship yet. Because even though those storms come, I read in Psalm 37, verse 25, where the psalmist says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. God may send storms, but he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We'll go through the storm together. So don't jump ship. Don't jump ship. So the power of the storm. Second thing I want to point out to you tonight is the problem of the storm. We read this story, we read this account, and we think the biggest problem that night was the storm. It was a great storm of wind. I mean, the wind was howling. It was churning up the waves, and the waves were beating into the ship so that the ship was now full of water and it was sinking. But I want to tell you tonight, the biggest problem that night, tell you tonight, the biggest problem that night was not the storm. Because you see, Jesus could easily deal with the storm. He did. I mean, we know the end of the story. We talked about it this morning. The problem was not that night, was not a storm problem. The problem that night was a heart problem. It was a problem that the disciples had in their heart. Let me talk about it for a minute. They began to doubt the goodness of Jesus Christ. They came to him. They woke him up. They said, "Carest thou not? Don't you care for me? Don't you like me?" I mean, they began to doubt his goodness. They began to doubt that he even cared for them. Don't you care for us? Carest thou not? You know, sometimes we get to feel in the same way. We look around and we see people that God has blessed we think in a way more than us, and we get to wondering, I wonder if God likes me as much as they like them. They're not as sick as much as I am. They're not as, their family's not as sick as much as my family's sick. They don't suffer the health problems that I have. They don't have the financial challenges that I have. I wonder if God loves them more than he loves me. I wonder if God is gooder to them. And I know that's not a word before anybody tells me. But I wonder if God is gooder to them than he is to me. And sometimes if we're not careful when storms come, the problem is not the storm. The problem is that we begin to doubt the goodness of God. They begin to doubt his grace. They said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" I want to remind you tonight, the Lord's not willing that any should perish. He extends his grace so that nobody has to perish, so that nobody has to die and end up going to hell. And they said, "Lord, don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you care that we're going to die?" They began to doubt his grace. They began to doubt his guidance. He's the one that got them out there in the first place. He's the one that said, "Hey, let's go over to the other side." We did what he said. We followed him. Now he's in the back sleeping, and we're bailing for all our life. We would have been better off to stay over there on the side of the sea that we were at instead of trying to go to the other side tonight. They doubted his guarantee. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean? Did he make him a guarantee?" Yes, he did. When he said, "Let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side." That was his promise. That was his guarantee. He didn't say, "Hey, let's go out halfway across the sea and get into a storm. Let's go out halfway across the sea and get into a storm and let the boat sink." He didn't say that. He said, "Let's go to the other side." Now listen real closely. I'm going to say something. I want you to listen. I want you to get this. They did not doubt his ability. They did not doubt the ability of Jesus Christ. They doubted his attention to their needs. They doubted his care for them. Sometimes in the storm of life, we do the same thing. We don't doubt God's ability. We know that we have a God that can do anything. We know that we have a God that can do the impossible. But he won't do it for us. He doesn't care about us. He won't do it for me because he doesn't care about me. Sometimes we pray for more faith. And I want to tell you tonight, more faith doesn't come in the calm. More faith comes in the storm. And so we pray for more faith, and God puts us in a storm, and instead of getting more faith, we begin to doubt God's goodness. And we begin to doubt God's grace. And we begin to doubt God's guidance. And we begin to doubt God's promise and his guarantee. Don't jump ship yet. Don't jump ship yet. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He does care for you. He knows what's going on in your life. He's got you in a storm. And I'm going to move to point three. I'm going to talk about in point three, the purpose of the storm. He has you in a storm for a reason. You see, there were some things that night that the disciples needed to learn. There were some things that Jesus needed to teach this group of men. They were things that could not be taught in the calm of the night. They were things that could only be taught and only could be learned in a storm. He needed to, first of all, teach them about his power. When he arose and stood on the deck of that ship and cried out, "Peace, be still." And that's like we talked about this morning, both in Sunday school and the morning service. It was just like a parent rebuking a child. "Hush up, be still." Jesus was just telling the sea and the winds to be quiet. And when they saw that, remember what it says? What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They needed to learn that they served an omnipotent, all-powerful God that could do anything. And they needed to learn about his protection. They needed to learn that their Savior was greater than any storm that came into their life. They needed to learn that it may get rough, and they may get wet, and they may get tossed around a little bit, but Jesus was able to keep them through it. They needed to learn that He keeps His promises. When He said, let's go over to the other side, He knew they were going to get there. It says in chapter 5, verse 1, and they came over unto the other side. God always keeps His promises. Yeah, we may go through storms before we see the fruition of them. We may go through a storm before we see God keeping His word, but we never ought to doubt, never ought to doubt that God always keeps His promises, even though we may have to go through a storm to see Him. They needed to learn that they needed to live in His presence. You see, we talked about the other little ships this morning and the people in those other little ships. They missed everything that went on in Jesus' ship. They missed everything that went on in His presence. I can just picture in my mind. I can picture in my mind, and I know the first person they met when they got over to the other side was somebody that was possessed by a devil. He was living in a cemetery, and Jesus cast that devil. But I can just picture in my mind the next few days as the disciples came in contact with other people, and I can just hear their testimony. You ain't never going to believe what happened the other night. You ain't never going to believe. Now, I'm sure they didn't use ain't. They probably talked better than me, but you're not going to believe what happened. We were out on the sea, and a storm came up, and Jesus stood up. We woke Him up. He stood up, and He said, peace be still. And the winds died down, and the waves died down. It wasn't gradual. It happened like that. It happened immediately. We've never seen anything like that before. Sort of helped me understand that verse in the book of Acts where the religious leaders told a couple of the disciples, be quiet. And they said, we can't help but speak the things that we have seen and heard. You see, when you live in the presence of God and walk with Him on a daily basis, and you see the blessings that some of you talked about tonight, you can't help but speak about them. You can't help but talk about them. They needed to learn that they needed to live in His presence. Look, I'm closing. These were men that Jesus was going to entrust the gospel with. These were men that He was going to command to go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I submit to you tonight, they were more prepared to do that when they got off the ship than they were when they got on the ship. They were more prepared to take the gospel to every creature. They were more prepared to go and tell other people about Him and about the kingdom of God and about His salvation. They were more prepared when they got to the other side than they were when they left. Because they learned some things about Christ that you cannot learn in the calm. They can only be learned in the storm. Some of us think that victory is not having any storms in our life. Victory really is coming through the storms that are going to come with more faith. Don't jump ship yet. Don't jump ship yet. I close with a couple of verses from the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. Storms are going to come. Some of them are sent by God. They're severe. They're sudden. And if we're not careful, in the middle of those storms, we'll begin to doubt a lot of things about God. But He's got us there for a purpose. He's got us there for a reason. There's some lessons that we need to learn. We don't learn them in the calm. We only learn them in the storm. Don't jump ship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this account. Thank you that we've been able to look at it all day today and for the truth that's in it. And I'm sure, Father, we've just scraped the surface. I'm sure there's many other things that we could still learn from it. But I pray tonight that as storms come into our life, that we would realize that you have a purpose in them. There's some things that you need to teach us, some things that we need to learn. And we don't learn those things when everything's going good. We only learn them when we have to fight and face adversity. And so I pray, Father, help us to be a people that stay on the ship. Help us to be a people that go through the storm. Help us to be a people that come out on the other side with more faith in our God than before we went into it. I pray you speak to our hearts tonight, Holy Spirit. If there's something that we need to do, if there's some decision that we need to make, I pray you'd make it clear to us and we'd be obedient. Father, I just ask you to bless this time of invitation. Again, Holy Spirit, work. Help us to listen. Help us to respond. If there is somebody here that doesn't know Christ, I pray tonight that they'd realize they're a sinner. And there's a penalty for that sin, but Jesus paid it when he went to Calvary. And I pray they'd come tonight and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. So again, Father, please bless this time of invitation. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.